Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey friends, welcome back to Parenting Uncovered. We have got a great guest for you today, and we're going to have a super fun conversation. We've got Dr. Morgan Cutlip in the house. Sweetie,
that's right.
Tell our listeners who don't already know what a phenomenal human being this is.
That's
about
right.
Dr. Cutlip.
Dr. Cutlip is awesome. I've been following her for a long time over on Instagram. Probably many of you have too. But she is just a wealth of knowledge and even a family. I mean, there's like a legacy here of helping people in their relationships, which I just think is so cool. And she is also the mother to two kids, Effie and Roy, and married to Chad. And before we actually hit record, we were talking about how Chad loves dad jokes just as much as Dave.
That's right.
So I feel like we could hang
with
you guys.
Always stick around to the end of the episode, guys, because you get a terrible dad joke for me and a really, truly fascinating fact from Ashley.
Well, we'll see. Some more fascinating than others.
They've all fascinated me.
But Dr. Morgan Cutlip, we are so excited to have you. Welcome to Parenting Uncovered.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, one thing I was telling Dave about this, like so many times when I see your posts on your page, which I mean, range from parenting, you know, information to marriage information to just general relationship information. I mean, you have a lot of content that I think literally every person can relate to and learn from. But I think one thing that really resonated with me is how you address what you refer to as the mental load. And I love that because until I saw you use this terminology, I didn't even know that term. And I, like when I saw you, you know, you put a lot of posts about this and have written about this a lot. I was like, oh my gosh, that's what I've been trying to describe to you. Like, especially when we had like young children that I didn't know how to put words to it. So can you describe for listeners and people watching, what is a mental load? What is that?
Yes. Yeah, I had the same experience maybe 5 years ago where I was just like swirling around my day and I didn't understand what it was. And then I came across the term.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, it's a thing. It feels so good to know it's not just you. And so I think that this term has caught wildfire for that reason in particular, is that it's like this collective sort of shared experience. So I think the mental load has three major components. And so in the big picture, it's like the running to-do list that it's not always women, but research shows it typically is women. It's the running to-do list women carry around in their minds. But here are the key factors. Mm-hmm. One, which is really important, it takes up cognitive real estate, which means that all the stuff we're holding in our minds is crowding out other things, which this will lend itself to how it really can impact your relationship. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that the majority of the stuff is invisible. This is why it's really hard to describe what it is to our partners, because it's like all of these little things that just happen and get done around the home and in our lives that we don't actually usually speak out or describe or share with our partners, but it's getting done and it's taking up space in our minds. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about things like tonight, for example, we have an open house at our kids' school and I have to get together all of their supplies. And not only did I have to order them and find them in all the multiple stores and their curriculum, but then also put them in the right bags and label them and all of these things that probably my husband doesn't even know exists. And then the third thing is a lot of the stuff is, you're like, we talked about this morning, didn't you?
Ashley, she's always more on it. You know, she's like, well, you know, Chatham's teacher needs this and that. And I'm like, Chatham has a teacher?
What?
He goes to school?
You know.
No, I'm a little better than that. But there is some truth to
but it's I mean, if you start thinking about it, it's like, do you know the kid's dentist name and when their appointment, you know, there's all sorts of things. I tease my husband because I don't think he's ever clipped the kid's nails. I've done all that. So anyway, all of these different things that we don't often think about or anticipate before we have kids. Yeah. And then the third piece of it is that a lot of the stuff is reoccurring. Mm-hmm. And so it just like never ends. You know, I think think about the steps that go into making dinner and then you do it and then you're like, gosh darn, I got to do it again tomorrow.
So, yes,
a lot of this stuff just keeps reoccurring. And so I think the mental load is a major source of frustration in relationships and resentment in relationships after kids especially, mm-hmm. and a big contributor to burnout for a lot of moms.
Man, I mean, I completely like 100% relate. In fact, you know, we're kind of our kids right now range in age from 8 to 18. So we just launched our first college student. So we're in a little bit different. I know it was crazy. And that has its own, you know, mental load in the sense of like, then they're out there, like a piece of your heart is out in the world and you're like, please make good choices. So there's that side of it. But it's like, you know, we have one less in the house, which is anytime if you take one child out of the dynamic, it just reshuffles everything. And some things are easier, some things are harder. But, you know, it's a little bit different season. But I remember back in that season, especially having kids who just needed more from us, yeah. and maybe in particular from me as the mother, I remember feeling, you know, being close to burnout, maybe even sometimes burning out. And mm-hmm. what would happen with me, and I know like with a lot of moms, is I would lash out. Like that's when mom's voice would get tense, you know, like that's when, and a lot of moms say this, they're like, I don't want to be ragey. Like, I don't want to be short with my husband. I don't want my kids to feel like I'm stressed out all the time. But I think really what the culprit is like what you're describing. I think that we have this ongoing list. We feel completely overwhelmed by it. And we don't know what to do with that. So what are some suggestions you have to avoid burnout and to manage this mental load well?
Well,
I know it's a big question. Yeah.
Give us the answer to
the
life
answer.
Right now.
I mean, it depends where you want to tackle this from. When I talk about the mental load, I talk about there being two main points of entry, and ideally you want to tackle both of these things. So the first is the within. So this is stuff as an individual that you can do that will shift hopefully your own experience or the dynamic in your relationship. Because I hear from a lot of women who are like, my partner will do nothing differently. They don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have some things that you can do as an individual to start to shift it. And then there's the between, which is the dynamic piece. Mm-hmm. So how do we talk about the mental load? I'll start there. I think that when it comes to, so burnout and the mental load, they go together, but they're not the same. So I'll talk about mental load. Mental load, one of the most important things that we need to get really good at as a couple is talking about the mental load. And it is one of the things I get the most pushback on for a number of reasons. A lot of women will say, oh, you're just adding more to my mental load, encouraging me to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Usually it's the women that want something to shift. Mm-hmm. Usually we're the ones who are suffering. And so I understand that it's adding more, but what else are you going to do about it? Are you just going to stew in your resentment? So it is a little bit of sometimes like that extra mustering up of energy to have this conversation, but it's so necessary. So we have to get good at talking about it. And one of the ways couples can do that is by regularly scheduling check-ins to touch base about the mental load. Yes. We have this horrible kind of, I don't know if it's just ingrained in us, these habits we get into in our relationships of only talking about things when something is wrong. Mm-hmm. And this then is like anytime we come to a partner with a conversation, their defenses are high. And they are like, oh, what did I do now? What do you want from me? You know, all of these sorts of, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, the conversation has already started off on a bad foot. Yeah. And so, the mental load changes season to season, day to day, even holidays, it increases, back to school, it increases. And so it's really important to have a touch base conversation to be like, what's happening in your week? What's going on? Where can I jump in and support you? How can I help you? Mm-hmm. And really start to dispel that myth that you only talk about your relationship when something's wrong, but rather it's just a normal rhythm of our life as a couple, which is touching base.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
No, I love that. And I think that we're better parents when we do that too. Like our marriage will be better, but also we're better parents because we have that support system. You know, I know that there's, you know, there definitely are single parents who are also, you know, watching this and listening to this. And I know it's a little bit different when you're a single parent, you know, you have that mental load, but not a partner to help bear that load with you. And in that instance, would you suggest like a trusted friend, maybe a community that they're part of, you know, how what would you say to that single parent?
Yeah. So I have a book coming out soon. Yes. And then by the time this airs, it will already be out. But I have a second book that I'll be then working on, which is on the mental load. But the first book is about, it's for moms, and it's called Love Your Kids Without Losing Yourself. And
so good.
I remember sitting with my publisher talking about like which one should come first. You know, what they're both really important topics. They're timely. They seem to be just kind of like circulating in the conversations today. And went with a mom book first for the reason that you're talking about, which is that there are a lot of single moms. When you look at the research, it's something like over 40% of new babies are born out of wedlock or something in different demographics. So there's a lot of single moms. There are a lot of moms who have partners like mine who travels constantly. He's not around a lot, or who have shift working partners. And so I wanted a book that taught moms how to really manage their relationship with themselves or women. And, you know, this is really what it becomes about when you don't have a partner to share the mental load with, is how am I going to care for myself in a way that helps me, you know, not get really entrenched in that deep burnout? And how do I stay on top of these things so I don't like become the mom who's constantly losing it on her kids, and I've just grown so weary. And so I think part of that is, it's a similar answer to the mental load, but it's that you do these regular check-ins on your relationship with yourself, and you make these minor adjustments. And, you know, one of the things you talked about is like the mom who loses it, you know, on her kids and kind of runs out of energy. And I talk about this in the book, so I can like elaborate on this concept, but it's, I use the example of a tape measure. So it's important for moms to know and people to know that we have a limited amount of energy that we wake up with every single day. So if you imagine the tape measure is pulled out, as we move through our day, little things will start to kind of diminish that energy, whether we're like, get your shoes on, get ready for school. We zap a little bit of that energy. We're rushing to the door. We're sitting in traffic maybe before drop off. We're using up this energy. By the time we get to the end of the day, if we have used up all of that kind of tape measure that we had out, is our energy, and we haven't replenished, we are going to be more likely to have nothing left to give, and lose it at bedtime, or just like, get the kids to bed, I'm so done. And so it's important for us to check in on that and find ways and easy ways of resetting, resting, and recalibrating, because we can, you know, add to this energy throughout the day. And I think, you know, everybody has a different capacity. And so it's important for us to understand that and make sure we nurture that aspect of ourselves. So that's just one way.
Man, such a good reminder in all seasons, wouldn't you say, honey?
Yeah. Oh gosh. I mean, that's a roadmap to follow. And I mean, just doing that, I mean, just starting there, I think would make such a difference in the mind, family, the relationship, the level of peace in the homes, all the way around.
Definitely.
That's gold.
Well, and what I want to point out is, I think that even married or unmarried, I think the self-check-in is important just for your own, you know, mental health. And I know, you know, for us, you know, we're Christians, it's a Christian podcast. I would say like one way for me, like that I know if I don't spend that quiet time in the morning, just like having some prayer time, just a little quiet moment in the day, like I'm off. But you know, what happens is when we have young kids and we have all this stuff going on, you know, whether they're in school or out of school, we have a lot of homeschool people who watch this and listen to this as well. It's like, that's the thing that goes, but really we need that replenishment. And even like what I hear you saying is like pockets throughout the day, not just one time, but like little pockets throughout the day to recharge. And I think that, you know, as a single person, I think, you know, just having that self-care, I know that word is thrown around a lot, but it does something, you know? I mean, I actually, before we hit, like this morning, I got a facial done. I haven't done that in forever. And I was so excited because I like, you know, we find excuses. Yeah. We're like.
And I can't stop staring at that face.
Well, I mean, it's
you're really glowing.
You're so sweet. But it's not even about that. It's like, it's taking that moment where it's quiet. Like I literally, and I didn't talk the whole time, which I'm one of those, I almost feel like I need to talk or something. I mean, I always, obviously I'm so thankful in the end, I get to talk to the person like at the beginning and the end, but I kind of forced myself to just stop, you know, to have that moment because, you know, we tend to want to, we feel like we need to be producing something all the time or knocking that list off all the time. And it's like, I think just having little moments of having coffee with a friend, you know, for married people, you know, checking in with your spouse and not just talking shop talk, but also just have fun, like just have a moment where you can laugh. And I think that's replenishing too, because it is, it's just so easy to feel overtaken by it all. And parenting, you know, it's such a gift. And we know this, like we know that children are a gift. We want to treat them as such, but it is so easy for this gift, like for the, I mean, it's a burden, a beautiful burden. And I hate to even use that word, but it is in the sense that, you know, we are raising human beings. So, I mean, there's a lot that comes with this. And I think that, you know, if we're not careful to, and we don't do what you're saying we should do, we burn out so fast. I mean, I'm sure in the work you do, you see this.
Yeah. Well, I think like as, I think in general in parenting and then specifically for moms, the having kids and parenting just has this natural tendency to like push you to make your needs really small.
Yes.
I mean, because it's kind of a requirement, right? Like you have to give up some self in order to really be there for your kids. And I think that's actually a really beautiful thing. I think it encourages us and stretches us to grow and develop in ways we wouldn't have if we didn't have children. But then like the darker side of that is if you shove those needs down and make them small for so long before you know what, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, like, I don't even know who I am anymore. Yeah. I don't even know what I'd like to do. I don't even know what I need in this moment to feel a little bit better. And so when you do the self check-ins, it has the same effect in any, in your relationship with your partner, your relationship with yourself has the same effect. But when you do these self check-ins, you stay on top of it. So it's like, it's a season where I'm coming last and I'm okay with that. Yeah. It's necessary in the season, but at least I am aware of that and I will come back to me in a little bit. So you don't get so lost in it.
Right.
Same for your relationship with your partner. Right when you have kids, it is a season where you are like two ships passing in the night. You know, that's a pretty normal thing. But when you check in and you stay on top of it, it's something that you can come back to and sort of turn those dials and recalibrate a little bit so that you don't end up, you know, 18 years like you guys launching your first kid.
Yeah.
You'll end up 18 years later like, I don't even really recognize you anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's and that's sad. So important to stay on top of this stuff.
Definitely.
And let me challenge the dads for a minute. I mean, I know dads, we, you know, we need time too, but usually we get more of that. I think, you know, it's not fair that we do, but guys, we need to make sure that your wife is getting everything that she needs. So like my dad, he kind of set this example for me when I was really young. You know, he worked outside the home. My mom in the early years when we were little, she was a stay at home mom. She worked very hard in the home and then later out of the home too. But when dad got home from work, it was kind of like tag team, you know, he would check in and she would go like he knew that she needed to just get out for a while. Like she'd been in a house cooped up with young kids and she's one that loves to be out and on the go. And so he knew that she needed that to be at her best. And, you know, and so he got on kid duty, even though he was tired from work, but he knew like, this is what she needs. And then they would come back and connect for dinner and be together the rest of the night. And it was the rhythm that's
what they needed.
That they needed. And so regardless of what your dynamic is, you know, who's working where and all of that, make sure that you're serving each other in those ways. Because if you can help your wife, you can help your husband have those moments to have whatever they need. And don't make them feel guilty if their needs are a little bit different than yours. If they need if they need to sleep a little longer than you do, or if they need a little more of this or that, like don't make them feel guilty for that. That's just how they're wired. And so serve them in that way and try to help them have what they need to be at their best.
Yeah.
And if both of you will do that for each other,
that's gold.
Makes such a difference.
It does.
I think that's such a beautiful perspective. And it's like, you just, gosh, I know in the work that you two do and like the work I've done, my dad's, and it's like, we just so hope that people have that mentality in their minds and in their hearts to like really live in the service of their partners. Because if we both kind of look outward and trying to serve the other, the other's doing that for us, it's just like this magical dynamic that you can create. But I think something with the mental load that can kind of get misrepresented sometime, and it speaks to what you're saying, is that a lot of people will talk about trying to make it equal.
Yeah.
And I think one of the, like a more important perspective to have is, does it feel fair? And the mental load is constantly shifting, and what each partner does is constantly changing depending on what's going on in the circumstances of their relationship. And I think something that's really helpful to think about, and it's just in line with what you're saying, is what can I do to serve my partner today? What is their capacity today? Yes. You know, and the, you know, just because, you know, you said you're the one who always empties the dishwasher. Well, maybe my partner's having a day and I can step in and take care of that for them, and they will do the same for me. And I feel like, you know, we're after this really rigid equality, and I don't think that's the answer. I think the answer is having a lot of grace and forgiveness, mm-hmm. and stepping into their world and paying attention to what they need and what can help serve them in these moments, and regularly sort of like, you know, your lower capacity, let me step in and help you. This week's mm-hmm. extra busy for you, let me step in and grab absolutely. Some for you.
Yeah.
And having a mentality like that will go a long way into how you, the two of you and couple manage the mental load.
I think you're so right. I think where kind of the rub comes in is that it takes one of us going first and yes. showing that service. That's where, and I know you see that in your work, I'm sure, and we certainly see that, is when we feel like one of us or maybe both of us feel like I'm pulling more weight, like I'm doing my part, and that resentment, you know, kind of sets in, and maybe even that competitive nature sets in, and we're like kind of, you know, at a standstill. It takes one of us to either vocalize what we need, which we need to be doing that anyway, but to vocalize what we need, or to ask that question and say, how can I make your day easier today? And, but it's amazing how when we, you know, push that pride away, because it's pride that gets in the way of us doing these things. When we kind of overcome that and we just do that, it's amazing what can happen. And I know we've had seasons where we've done this better than others, but in those moments where we really have been, you know, true partners, and we're really, you know, we are tag teaming it and we're doing all the things and really trying to check in on the capacity. I love how you worded it that way. It's so much better. Like, I know right now I'm almost finished with a master's program in biblical counseling. And so it's been an additional thing that we've had to add on top of raising kids and work and everything else. And Dave's been so sweet about checking in with me a lot, because he knows that capacity wise, I have some additional things that I'm doing. And so you've been so sweet about, like, when school starts next week again, and I'm going to have a pretty heavy load. And so I know it's like, I'm almost there. I have like three so classes close. Left.
She's, but I don't see how you get it all done. I really don't. But
you're so sweet about checking in with me, because you'll be like, why don't I do this today? Even if it's something he wouldn't traditionally like do in kind of our process. You know, I think that we have to have the mentality that we're never above anything. Like, we're not above anything. Yeah. I mean, what would you say to that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, see, over and over again, I call it the standoff, where people don't want to give until they get.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's just not going to end well for anybody when you're sort of digging your heels in and waiting for the person to kind of step your way. I see it a lot in the sexual relationship, and usually that ties into the mental load as well. I want more help. Well, I want some attention, you know, in the bedroom or whatever. And so they get in this really nasty standoff. And I think it's exactly what you're saying, is that, you know, and this is the within, this is the individual side of things, you know, which I talk about it in terms of the mental load, but it occurs in all areas of relationship, is that, you know, we're in control of how we show up in our relationship. And
yes.
the way we show up has a powerful impact on shifting the dynamic. I think I have done experiments in my own relationship that I never told my husband about, and I have shifted the dynamic in dramatic ways.
Yes.
And so there are, you know, by you stepping toward your partner and having the first move of grace and humility goes a long way. And I think that a lot of times when couples are in this standoff, or even in the tit for tat arguing that we see come up so much around this stuff, like, oh, I need you to help me. Why did this? Well, you didn't do that. You know, and this back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, now we're just stuck in an argument that goes nowhere.
Yeah.
Usually what you see is that there are needs that are going unmet for both people.
Yeah, sure.
There's like they're running parallel alongside of each other, and no one's crossing over to meet the other one's need. And so it's like not a fun answer, but the reality to these situations is that somebody has to have some humility and step over, and then watch how the relationship shifts. You can shift the tone of your relationship by just doing some of the simplest little things that don't take a lot of time or effort.
Yeah. It's so true. And I just want to add this, that as parents too, our kids are watching this. So let's say one day dad does something, you know, he's fulfilling a different role, and they may ask, well, why are you doing this today and not mommy? Or why, mommy, why are you doing this and not daddy? It's a great opportunity to say, because today I was trying to help mommy out, or I was helping daddy out, and we're partners in this. Like, I think it's good to tell kids. I mean, I think,
that,
you
let
know,
them, let them see that.
Let them see, like, we are, you know, in marriage, you know, for the married parents out there, it's like in marriage, we serve. And I even think for the single parents, there's ways to show service in various ways, and how also saying, like, you know, mommy was tired today. She told me she was tired today, and so she asked for help, and so I'm helping. And I think it's good to show also advocating for yourself, advocating for when you need help, and saying there's no shame in asking for help. That's how we thrive. Like, that's how we do this thing called life. So I love this so much. We could talk all day.
We could talk, but we want you guys.
We're going to have you back on, especially when that other book comes out too. So, yeah.
But for you listeners, we're not done yet, because we have a few elements to share with you, and then we're going to have Dr. Cutlip share where you can get this book, which just released this past September.
So good.
And we've just scratched the tip of the iceberg here. So, and husbands, if you're listening, buy this book, give it to your wife, and say, I think you'd enjoy this, and I'm going to go do the dishes as well. And, you know, it's going to be very much appreciated. So we end every episode with Ashley's fascinating fact, Dave's dad joke. Sweetie, you got a fascinating parenting fact for us today.
I have several. So I'm going back to kind of history. I'll do like scientific or historical, just kind of nerd out on this parenting stuff. All right. So I want to share one. This is from goodhousekeeping.com. And it said, in the 1940s, nutrition was a hot topic for parents, but not all of the advice was great. It said, for one, many experts suggested that children should be given meals of liver soup starting at 3 months. Liver soup. I don't know what the thought was behind that, but gross. And then this other thing. So in the 1940s, so we're still in the 1940s, it said technology has always inspired debate, particularly when it came to how it could impact a pregnant woman. So in 1947, a pamphlet published by the Canadian government warned women to not listen to the radio at loud volumes, and the reason was that it would excite them too much. And I guess they thought
you go into early labor because of music's too loud.
This was like actual advice for parent, for women, for pregnant women. So
crazy. I remember my father-in-law was giving salt tablets in gym class.
What?
Yeah, to like suck on.
See?
Like, what? I mean, I'm sure later we'll look back on our time.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm sure they were so thirsty.
Well, like, so dehydrated. Well,
my dad, during summer football practices in high school, his coach believed it wasn't healthy to drink water while
during
you were
practice,
exercising.
Yeah.
And so he had guys like passing out in the heat, not allowed to have water the whole time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just anyway, we've come a long way, and we still have a lot to learn, but I'm thankful.
We gained more understanding.
All right, quick dad joke. It's always hard to pick which one, because I love them all, like my kids. Which one's your favorite? It's hard. All right, here's one. Did you hear that Disney's Queen Elsa was, even though she's rich, she was unable to get a new debit card?
Why?
Her account was frozen.
Wow. That was good.
I saw that coming a mile away.
You know what? Yeah. She just needs to let it go.
Oh, there it is.
Go.
There it is.
Yeah.
Mom joke in the house.
Mom joke. Okay.
Morgan, before we go, tell folks where they can connect with you online, and also
they
can get this new book, which is such a valuable resource. And I encourage everyone to get it.
Thank you. You can get my book anywhere you buy books. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you can learn more about it on my website, which is drmorgancutlip.com. And then that's my Instagram handle too, drmorgancutlip. So those are the best.
And she's a great follow, by the way.
Yeah, she's
on Instagram.
A great follow. Has such creative and insightful reels. I mean, I'm always like, oh, that's so good. So keep up the great work, Morgan. We really enjoyed
Thank
this.
Thank you. It was great to meet you and talk with you today. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And for those who are listening, guys, do us a favor and share this one. I promise you there's someone in your world who would benefit from this conversation.
Sure.
So put it out on social media and spread the word and follow Dr. Morgan Cutlip. You will be encouraged and equipped by it. And again, thanks, Morgan, for all you're doing, and we hope to see you again soon.